Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 120, Episode 5 of Your Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News. It's Friday, February 14th, 2020. Happy Valentine's Day, Zeit Gang. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. It's 9 o'clock on a weekday. Jack O'Brien loves Mountain Dew. Miles Gray is sitting next to me, making love to his Kirkland cold brew. That is courtesy of Picked Last in Zeit Class at GoToJoe30330. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Live from Washington, D.C. now, Miles Gray and Jack O.B. too. Hot takings that he's hosting TDZ now. Jack and Miles of Gray.
Keep going.
Recording shows every goddamn day now.
Oh, thank you to Christy Yamaguchi.
Christy Yamaguchi.
For that one. And yes, we are in D.C.
We are in the nation's capital.
About to rock.
To rock. I've seen a million faces and I've rocked them all, bro.
Rocked them all. Or we will rock or about to rock, depending
about
on
to rock,
what,
yeah.
how
we
you experience
rocked,
linear
actually,
time.
Yeah, because this is coming out the night after the show. But
we
have experienced Brooklyn.
Oh,
that was
what
so
a night.
Fun. What,
oh, what
an
a night.
Evening at the Bell House. And I can only assume Washington, D.C., the Miracle Theater is going to be as miraculous as we expect.
The theater title
last night.
Yeah.
And we're going to come to the Midwest at the end of this month. Minneapolis, February 25th at the Parkway Theater with POS. We're going to be in Chicago, February 27th at Sleeping Village with Daniel Van Kirk. And we are going to be in Toronto. The grand finale, February 28th at the Great Hall.
The greatest hall.
For tickets, go to dailyzeitgeist.com and go to the live appearances tab for links to the tickets. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the greats, the hilarious, the talented Bridget Todd.
Hey, y'all. Welcome. Thank you for having me. Welcome to D.C. Y'all know I was born here, right?
Yes,
I
do.
This is my hometown.
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you for having us.
Of course.
I'm so glad we got to see you because you don't live in L.A. So the last time you were on, it's just because you were passing through. And now since we're passing through, it only made sense that
we were. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Does it snow here?
It does. Yeah. Not often. Very lightly. Not very lightly. Mm-hmm.
There's been some big snowstorms here.
Oh, yeah. Like 2 years. Was it 2 years ago?
Snowmageddon.
Yes.
Although that's controversial because people from the Midwest who live here were like, oh, it's that's just nothing. A little snow. Right. It's nothing.
Yeah. It's just that I had this experience in Kentucky, too. It's that there you're right on the border between where it snows and where it doesn't. So you have just enough people who just don't know how to act in
that's
the snow.
That's accurate.
Oh. And they don't. And it snows rarely enough. That they don't have like infrastructure built up. It's like in Atlanta when they had that snowstorm and people were stuck on the highway for 3 days. That like you fucking
or LA all the time because we have terrible infrastructure.
Yeah, no, in LA all you need for it to be is windy and people like don't know how to
there's
drive.
There's a stick in the road.
Pandemonium.
Should I call the police? Or just pick it up and get this shit out the way?
Yeah. Actually, don't get out of your car on busy roads.
I'm talking about residential streets. Right. I'm not talking about the highway. People just are
people
shook
just
by anything.
Yeah. Honking their horn at a fallen
honking at a downed branch.
All right, Bridget, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. It is Bloomberg-a-palooza. We're talking about Mike. He's flooding the lanes on social media. A lot of cool quotes coming out from him that are actually quotes that have been around for a while, but are being recirculated.
Yeah, so people can understand who the candidates
are. Yeah, exactly. That's not fair.
That's not fair. Oh, you're leaking stuff?
Cheating. You're
from
leaking
5 years ago?
That has been on the internet.
It's like, no, you weren't served.
He voluntarily said to a group of people.
At a thing that he partially funds, too.
Right. So we're going to look at a study that was widely quoted by people on the right, your Jordans Peterson, about how women just don't like science. They don't like science, bro. That's why they don't go into the sciences. It's just their choice. And somebody finally took a look at that study and the numbers were all fucked up. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Trump is getting his favorite nurse back. Hope Hicks, she's back, baby. The Astros gave one of the worst apology press conferences ever. So we'll talk about that. It's truly something to behold. But first, Bridget, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Something from my search history that is revealing about who I am is the fact that I am apparently gullible enough that if you saw that tweet recently, that NASA came out with a statement that a couple days ago was the only day that your broom could stand upright. Mm-hmm. And I live with a scientist, and so I was like, is this true? Did NASA really say this? And he was like, no, are you an idiot? And so then I set off to prove him wrong. I did a lot of Googling, and y'all, it turns out that's BS.
Yeah.
NASA didn't say that.
NASA never said that.
I did spend 2 hours of my time getting my broom to stand up upright.
Yeah. Did you get it?
I did. Oh, I have a picture. Oh, wow. I like documented this.
Did
it took
video?
You 2 hours?
I didn't get video.
See, then I don't know, man. You could have got
it's
it.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I'm a broom mythbuster.
Right. Everybody made it seem very easy. Like they just like put the broom down and it stood up. But I think it takes a lot of balance. It
took me 2 hours of my day.
I also probably depends on how new the broom is. I'd imagine it's easier with a new broom versus like the ones I have in my house that are like half curled over from years of use.
Yeah, that's what that was my problem.
But then you can get it to stand up, but it has nothing to do with the planets. So that's what I had to Google because I didn't know. I wasn't sure.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. Something I think is overrated, and I don't know if this is a controversial take. I just realized there's controversy around this. I guess I would say it is overrated to be on a plane and not put your seat back.
Oh, yeah.
I just realized this. So there was like a thing on Twitter where a woman put her seat back and the guy behind her is sitting in that last seat that doesn't go back.
Right.
And so for whatever reason, his response is just to punch her seat repeatedly.
Yep.
And so I tweeted about that and people were like, oh, people are divided. Like, who's in the wrong? And I was like, well, obviously he's in the wrong. Like, she's using her seat the way that it was designed to do.
Yeah.
And I found out that most people think it's rude to recline your seat on a plane.
I think about that. I go, oh, this is going to suck for the person. But I'm also like, I paid for a fucking seat.
Yeah. Right.
It's the feature on there.
Right.
So I'm going to do that. the part I do understand, right, is more of like, it's probably more about like treating the plane as like a village, right? Where we know we're all oppressed in economy,
right?
By the right. by our we're corporate overlords, the airline, yeah. Yeah. And they've given us these limited resources. Now we could abuse them,
right?
But we should also consider our neighbors because we're all in this together in steerage or yeah. whatever.
Steerage.
Because I really think, yeah, the I think the most sane take about the whole thing is direct all your anger at the airline,
definitely,
right?
Because, but also like you can't be punching someone's seat. I think you don't have to feel you're not a shitty person if you're like, oh, that sucked that someone reclined their seat.
Yeah.
But I don't think
that is violence.
I don't know. Yeah.
Be punching the back of somebody's seat over and over and over again. And people, I saw that tweet and I saw people responding, being like, the fact that she just started videoing it is like bullshit. She should have like gotten somebody. And it's like, you don't know what happened before she started taking
yeah.
it.
Or like, what the real context is of this
right.
video.
That's yeah. also a good point. Because
you know
also these online videos, you never know right. like, what's actually happening.
If
that's
some shit was going
point.
On and like she just, you know, I don't know what. The,
they're
know
just
the
going
happened.
Through a messy divorce.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, she's like, oh yeah, that's my ex. She's like, I bled him dry. And I just happened to be sitting in front of him and I gave it to him one more time.
Yeah. God, can also, you imagine how angry you'd be?
Oh, if that was my ex-wife who, like, you know, I'm maybe rightfully destroyed by the divorce or something.
Right.
And then there she is in front of me and then sends me into spatial hell.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, that back row, though, that's criminal.
Yeah, and people were saying in the doesn't comments matter. Of your Twitter post that they were like, yeah, I would never recline my seat. It's like, what do you think it reclines for?
Right.
Is it just
like,
supposed
I
to be a
get
tease?
It. I get it.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, if the sentiment is purely coming out of, like, I cannot inconvenience my fellow human.
Right.
You know, because the that's space good. Is limited. But like good, to get but... very hard-lined about it, I'm sort of like, yo, if the person in front of me seat comes back, guess what? My seat's coming back
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Yeah. And before anybody sends me hate mail on this, I understand that you need to like, maybe you need to ask, look behind you, make sure they're not drinking a hot coffee,
right,
make sure everything
right.
is good back there. Don't, yeah. you know, just shove
right.
it back.
Oh,
you know?
I do it the yeah. second we take off
oh,
so they know what time it is.
Right.
Yeah. Don't,
you like stake your claim.
Yeah, I'm just like, just so you know.
It goes dong, and before the thing yeah. is over, you're back.
I use the G forces of the takeoff to slowly recline my chair. I just depress the button, and then they don't realize it's too late. By the time they realize, maybe
yeah,
it's too late.
One of the people in the comments, I'm now realizing I like read deeply into this thread, but one of the people in the comments was saying that their trick is that if somebody reclines into them, they point their air down the back of that person's neck, and it makes them like go for it every time.
Why do you think I wear a hoodie, bro?
Right, exactly.
Good
you're like,
fucking
give
luck.
Me your worst.
Yeah, but also like, I mean, if someone's really like, excuse me, like my knees, so that's happened before. Someone was like, this person was huge, like tall, and it was actually like impeding on their legs.
Yeah,
so I was like, oh my, oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
but I also part never... of me wants to be like, you should have sat in the bunkhead then,
yeah.
sir.
Yeah. I suffer from a conflict avoidant personality disorder, I think. Like, I am just, I will just avoid the shit out of any conflict, no matter what. But, in that case, I would always flip it forward. I can't imagine a scenario where you're just, like, hitting it repeatedly.
No. Unless, yeah. like, someone's hair, they put their hair over the seat.
Oh, I hate that.
When you put your hair over the seat, like, guess what?
Over the back?
Yes.
I've seen that. It's gross.
It's not, like, very common, but it's starting to creep up more and more.
Anything, like, if I could wear a bunny suit, like one of those things, or, like, a hazmat suit onto planes, that's what I would wear.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're filthy. It's not the air. Everybody
no,
blames
the
air.
It's
the seats. It's you are sitting in a garbage can. They do not clean that shit. So to like put your hair all over that shit, yo.
I think in their mind they're like, well, at least I'm not like laying on it in between the seat. Ugh. But also like there's a photo of some like woman's hair being so long coming out the back that it was nearly going into the drink of the person like there.
No.
In which case you should just be like, you know what? I'm gonna tune up your little ombre with some tomato juice.
Yeah, yeah, man, absolutely.
Disgusting. Yeah, flying is the worst.
Flying
it's
sucks.
Like just so nasty. The CDC says that you should not wash your hands when you're in the airplane bathroom because
that water is
it's like gross. It's like grosser than not washing your hands after going to the bathroom is washing them with that water.
Is that
so
true?
Absolutely
the CDC
true.
Really says
absolutely
that?
Absolutely true.
Damn.
I know I talked about not knowing my like NASA science facts
right.
earlier, but this one is, take this to the bank.
All right. What is something you think is underrated?
Well, I think I got to go back 10 miles on this one. I think it's underrated to not rise up against our like corporate capitalist nightmare airplane line overlords, like right. blaming anybody in this like plane situation. We should be blaming the airlines.
Right. Stop turning on each other.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you look at it, it's such a cynical cash grab. Right. They've slowly just been putting more seats in. And it's like not even, it's not the same shit. And then, I mean, obviously, look, if you're flying budget, you know, like, I'm just here to get from A to B. Like, I don't need an experience in the air. I just need the experience of traveling somewhere.
Yeah.
But like, when you look at the, it's almost like by design, they want to make it so bad that you're like, you know what, man, maybe I should just forego my child's college fund and fly business the next time. Because it's so unbearable sometimes. Especially if you're tall.
Yeah,
it can be a bit of a nightmare. Yeah. But that's why you got to just get in early, get that bunkhead or what is it? Bulkhead. Emergency exit row.
Although bulkhead does have that weird.
Depends. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you get the weird screen.
The weird screen that folds out like a robot, like a transformer robot arm.
Yeah, that you never wanted.
yeah, I hate flying. and. Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Well, I have to go back to my first one. I don't know if that's kind of lame, but that your broom stands up on one particular day and that NASA said so. That's a myth. It is not true.
Do we know if this was new or this has happened before? People have tried to perpetrate this hoax.
I think
before.
It's a hoax that comes up once a year.
Right.
Like the way that I saw it described was like, oh, it's the equinox. It's some special day. But that's not true.
Right.
Right.
Ugh. We have to rise up against our broom overlords
overlords.
There have been other myths like this that went viral like before the internet. There was one that like if everybody jumped at the same time in the UK, like something was going to happen.
Throw off the tilt of
throw off the tilt of the earth or something. Like everybody did it.
Everybody did it?
Except for one person. And that's why it didn't throw off the tilt.
And that woman is a hero.
Yeah.
Who just didn't know. She happened to be in the bathroom.
All right, let's talk about what Mike Bloomberg is doing to get his name out there, you know, other than creating his own media empire.
He is and naming it after spraying his name. Money at anything and anyone who might have a platform or anything. Just like, hi, please, I'm Mike Bloomberg.
Right.
I just need name recognition because I'm not trying to actually have a campaign here. I'm just trying to just do the name recognition thing. And some people notice now that fuck Jerry,
right?
The great meme stealing account,
right?
Who helped, you know, the great fire festival perpetrate their scam,
right?
Is now apparently helping Mike Bloomberg out.
And these are experts on what is viral, like on creating viral memes. And the way they do that is they just steal tweets and Instagram posts from actually talented comedians and just like don't credit them.
Yeah. Or recontextualize them and then like,
right.
Then it's fuck Jerry.
Yeah.
A lot of like their accounts, just big meme accounts, they've been posting like this same construction basically of, it looks like a DM that comes from Mike Bloomberg. And this is like to the fuck Jerry account. It says, hello, Jerry. My granddaughter showed me this account. Your memes are very humorous. Can you post a meme that lets everyone know I'm the cool candidate? And then it says, what did you have in mind? And it's like a photo of him like in a weird vest and shorts. And it just says, when you're the cool candidate.
Ugh.
And they just go, oof, that'll cost like $1 billion. Then Mike Bloomberg responds, what's your Venmo?
Huh. And so
that's
then
supposed to be funny?
It's
in
like
the
not
comment
funny.
Section, he goes, he does look pretty, fuck Jerry posted, he does look pretty cool, and then parentheses, and yes, this is really hashtag sponsored by at Mike Bloomberg. And then people in the comments were like, so good.
Or one guy,
clapping,
twice.
Clapping. Wow.
And then there, even Grape Juice Boys, same thing. Hello, Grape Juice Boys. Can you post an original meme to make me look cool for the upcoming Democratic primary? I don't think so, to be honest. Your vibe is kind of off. Wow, that's sane.
Right, that's actually accurate.
And then he puts, I put Lamborghini doors on the Escalade. What? Okay.
Wait, I don't even really.
It says, and they're even saying, I don't get it. That's right. Like the sure. I don't know.
What? Yeah, my first question is, these aren't even funny, they're more just weird. So I'm not even sure what he's trying to convey to the youth or whatever, you know, whatever audience he's targeting. I'm not sure what that message is that Mike Bloomberg is perplexing.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's quoting lyrics from The Game.
Yeah.
Like, right. Okay.
The Grape Juice Boys, like the what they posted with it was, I don't get it. And then ... paid for by Mike Bloomberg. So are they just like taking advantage of the fact that he'll pay them to do nothing or something?
Yeah.
It's just wild.
It's depressing. I think that one of the accounts that reposted one of these is Kale Salad. And I saw on Twitter that the person who runs that is a BuzzFeed staffer. Okay. And there was a good conversation about, you know, what are the guidelines that BuzzFeed has from a political candidate paying one of their journalists money to run advertising on their personal Instagram account.
Right.
And I thought, like, that is a good question.
That's a good question. I feel like we should allow journalists to secure the bag.
Oh, sure. They totally agree.
They need to get paid.
Yeah, I wonder what that means. I wonder if their takes are going to be a little less objective. Like, you know, he did put Lamborghini doors on the Escalade.
Yo,
I bet you watched. Fuck it, we'll have Chris Matthews saying that shit in no time.
Oh, for sure.
And he did put Lamborghini doors on the Escalade. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's about to be pretty concerted that everybody who was like, you know, who's not feeling Bernie is going to line up behind Mike Bloomberg.
Or Mayor Pete. There's still time.
Yeah.
They'll still figuring out who will be the savior for Wall Street.
Mike Bloomberg had this tweet. We know many of the same people in New York. Behind your back, they laugh at you. This is at Real Donald Trump. They laugh at you and call you a carnival barking clown. They know you inherited a fortune and squandered it with stupid deals and incompetence. And #carnivalbarkingclown is the number 3 trending thing on Twitter. And people are like, ha, this is so funny. And like Trump must be so scared of him, and it's just we'll get into why we're a little bit, not fully sold on Michael Bloomberg as a candidate.
That's putting it so lightly. Not fully sold.
I'm not fully sold.
You mean
I'm
why
not
we
all the way there?
Completely reject.
Like, I wouldn't
Mike
say
Bloomberg.
I'm 100% there.
Right. there's still a shot.
Yeah, but Yeah, I mean, he's getting support. He's racking up the numbers. So we'll talk about what the people who are lining up behind him are having to ignore. But first, we're going to take a quick break.
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust? Or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system. Or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and let's talk about some of the things that are coming out about Bloomberg, because, you know, it feels like there's like a lot of Oppo research that's coming out, but it doesn't seem actually like all this shit was just out there already.
Yeah.
Like, you're not having to do a ton of research.
There's nothing about, okay, so, well, first, there was a clip that I think most people had heard where he was basically talking about how lit Stop and Frisk was.
Right.
And completely ignoring that it was basically criminalizing being a black or brown young man in right. the city. And just more like, yeah, but you know, you put them up against the wall and maybe they'll think twice to leave the gat at home. You know?
Right.
And that's how we make the city safer. And then he said, he had this... Basically, he's describing how like over-policing creates this bias about how dangerous neighborhoods are without actually exploring that. He's out loud saying, goes, and then you go in those neighborhoods and you police them more, and then what do you know? There's more arrests there. It's like, because you're over-policing, sir.
Right. Yeah.
And like when you look, I mean, all the statistics just show like how completely wrong everything he was saying.
Right.
But
surely.
He was trying to find like, basically saying like, yeah, I guess I'm vindicated in doing this, when it was just an absolutely just terrible, atrocious, racist policy of harassment.
Did he really say maybe white people are being over-policed?
Yes.
That's...
And maybe we need to police the other neighborhoods a little more. The thing is, I think because his energy is so low, you don't realize I'm saying like the most vile shit because my energy is so low.
He slips it in. You don't even know.
If he's screaming like Trump, you know, he's fucking this, it's a lot different. Someone's like, you know...
Trump did say that he has dead energy.
Yeah.
Like, Trump is, like, above all things, a media critic. And, like, he's like, his energy's off.
It's dead.
Energy's
Look
all
at him.
Fucked
Look
up.
Look at him.
Yeah.
He sounds like a wet balloon. But, yeah, the whole thing, like, so then there was this, that whole thing. And when he was asked to sort of, like, defend it, he was just being like, you know, I led one of the most diverse cities in the world. Never actually answering like the substance of it. Like, why would you say that? Like, what are you, do you believe that?
Right.
And he goes, I've already apologized. It was 5 years ago. And that's
five.
Yeah. That's
five years ago.
I don't know why we're bringing
that's
this stuff
so
up.
That's so recent.
It's ancient it's history. Not that long
that
ago.
Is, yeah. Isn't that like at the end of his run as mayor or was he still
around?
I don't even know if
he may have just been,
but like that's after a lot of time, a lot of his ideas had time to solidify, and that's what he believes.
And I'm sure if he had any kind of campaign staff worth their own salt, they're like, hey, you're gonna have to figure this one out,
right?
Yeah.
Especially considering
it's not figure outable, like this is what he did, like this is his
figuring out, address it,
right?
I think that's my thing. Like, as a black person, I can't imagine ever voting for him. Apparently, I'm a minority in this regard, but I can't imagine voting for him if there's not some meaningful, thoughtful reckoning. Not just, I apologized, it was 5 years ago, because that's what I hear from him now.
Yeah.
I don't think he has taken stock of how horrible this policy was for an entire generation of black and brown kids in New York.
Yeah.
And I think that because of that, I think that he cannot quite see us as like fully human or like fully deserving of that kind of like thoughtful reflection of his own policies.
Right.
And so I think you're right. Until I hear some kind of like meaningful tactic around it or like addressing of it, it's like it just all sounds like noise.
Yeah, right. And it is. And I, that's why I'm like, I don't expect any kind of meaningful response because I'm looking at everything he says and how he acts, and that's just who he is. I don't believe there's a self-aware person or someone who's seeking growth or any kind of reconciliation about the effect it had on millions of people. He's just sort of like, that's what it was. And the numbers, you know, they show one thing and I'll look at it very narrowly. Then he was out here saying in another soundbite that basically the 2008 economic crash was in part due to the ending of redlining or less restrictive loans being given out.
Right.
Which was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hold on, you're talking about the most racist practice that has led to the exact wealth inequality that we see today. Like,
right. And okay, the exact wealth inequality.
Quick primer, was, yeah. If you're hearing this word redlining for the first time. In the 30s, their surveyors went to like hundreds of cities in the country and began raiding neighborhoods like on right. Green meant best, blue, still desirable, yellow, definitely declining, and red for hazardous.
Right.
And back then in the 30s, that just meant not white.
Right.
And so basically from there, it was saying that these red districts are risks, so you shouldn't give them loans at all.
Right.
And if it were, and if you did, it would be tremendously expensive or they just wouldn't be there at all.
Right.
And so that means people can't move up. Upward.
Yeah.
There's no upward mobility if you cannot buy a home. And,
right.
And the way people accumulate wealth in the United States is through buying their homes,
right.
Owning a home, owning property.
Yeah.
And so when you look at even now, the legacy of it in all of these impoverished neighborhoods, they're still there because of this
policy.
Or just the bucket they were put into by a bunch of random race, well, not random, but just these racist people right. who wanted to create this system then.
Random racists like FDR.
Yeah.
Right. Literally.
So the term redlining has a lot of weight behind it. It speaks a lot to the scenario and the situation a lot of black and brown people, especially black people in this country, find themselves in, especially yeah. you look at Baltimore, like that's complete. I mean, redlining has, the legacy is still there.
Right.
And many places is in Georgia, all over the country. And so to hear a candidate try and blame like loans being given out or equating that somehow black and brown people led to the economic collapse
right.
is unbelievable.
I mean, it's
absurd. It's offensive and it's diabolical. It's complete. I'm like, there's no.
Especially even suggest when it's that. Billionaires and like wealthy people on Wall Street, like his people caused the economic collapse. And it's just like, going out of his way
well,
to
see,
blame
what happens
poor
is
people.
When you're told to give more loans out, you give the loans out, but then there's some people who don't have the credit for it. So then they're overextending themselves, and then you need additional credit to keep that going, and it's a really bad place, you know? So that's what's going on. And then so when he was asked about that, the campaign had the lamest excuse. You're like, why did Mike Bloomberg try and like say that like redlining or the lack of redlining caused the economic collapse? And it's sort of like, what he was saying was the end of redlining was a good thing that happened. And then after that, a bad thing happened. That was almost the gist of the thing. It's like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That's not even an explanation.
That's just a weird distillation
yeah.
of what he said.
Right.
And just being like, okay.
It's so fucked up. And then something else I like to mention when we talk about redlining is that it sounds like something that happened so long ago, but think about this. A lot of people in this country, they're only able to pay for college if their parents can mortgage a home. Like that's how my
right.
parents paid for me to go to college. And so there are still ramifications of this today. Like,
right.
Redlining is still something that we're fighting against today, the impacts of it that we feel today. And so if you're in college, if you're a young person, look around. Like, did your grandfather own his home and so he could mortgage that to send your dad to college and he could mortgage his home to send you to college?
Right,
your black
right.
classmate, your brown classmate might not be in that same situation.
Right.
So it's very much something that we are still kind of steeping in today.
Yeah, 100%.
And there's still a lot of racism in like the real estate industry and
yeah.
like where, yeah, like and it's still
lenders
wild.
Are still
like
getting dinged for discriminatory lending practices.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. When you look at it, that wealth disparity shows up now because white families have 10 times the net worth of black families and 8 times that of Hispanic families.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Yeah.
Because they came through and said, if this isn't a Northern European person area,
right.
It's probably going to be a red for
us. It's a bunch of like unofficial policies and like, you know, shit like that's hidden in maps and like archives in history and in like libraries. But like that's where the racism, like you can find it and that's where it's
right.
being enforced. Because,
and this is why, yeah. like when you look at a candidate, right, these are the stakes. There is systemic racism in this country that is still, you know, thriving. There's not really been a real meaningful a plan to really deconstruct that and try and create some equity. So when I look at a candidate and I look at somebody who's trying to like very casually and lamely be like, you know, if the redlining was still there, maybe the Wall Street people wouldn't have taken a hit. I'm like, well, you have no clue what the stakes are for regular people.
Right.
And you have no clue the damage that has been done. Yeah. And based off, if you don't know what the damage is, you can't fix it.
Right.
Because it's invisible to you. And I need to be visible to a candidate. If I am invisible, they will not advocate for me.
Right.
And so I think that's why, you know, when the Bloomberg ad came on accidentally in front of our show, we're like, man, fuck that.
Right.
Because this guy, he actually, to me personally, now I'm not going to speak for everybody here, but he's embodying everything that is wrong with the political system and this kind of this outsized power people have to just sort of throw their weight around with seemingly no benefit for regular people. It just seems like this is a project. He saw how vulnerable the party looked right now. He knew he had hundreds of millions of dollars he could just sneeze away and just fart away on TV. He's like, whatever, it's an afterthought.
Right.
And then be like, yeah. And then maybe we'll see. Maybe I'll be the president.
Yeah. He's spent more money than anybody has spent on their campaign maybe ever at this point.
Well, like, his answer, the press pressed him on that also. And he was sort of like, well, you know, some of these other people have been working for, you know, a year or something. We've only been at it 10 weeks.
Mm.
So because of that, we're keeping up.
It reminded me of the CEO of Goldman Sachs was tweeting the other day, who's like, if Bernie gets elected, Russia would be thrilled because he hates our military and would sink our economy. And this is a guy who was the CEO of Goldman Sachs during the economic collapse, like during the 2008 financial crisis. Mm-hmm. This dude was leading one of the largest banks. And yeah, this is just these 100 millionaires or billionaires are really scared of becoming like 10 millionaires. Like they're just,
yeah.
It must be nice to be a hundred millionaire or a billionaire, because these dudes are protecting their shit like wild.
I mean, the tax hit Mike Bloomberg would take under Bernie's plan, I think, is like $3 billion.
Right.
And if you look at that, it's like, man, maybe it's worth me spending $400 million.
Right.
That's the thing. It's like, that's so much money that like my broke ass can't even sort of fathom.
I can't, no.
Isn't it? Wouldn't he still have so much left over?
Yes.
So the human mind can't like process it.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah, I can't process it. And I think
he's worth almost $62 billion.
So like, what does that even mean? Like, what does that even mean?
Well, Bridget, then he'll have less than $60 billion.
Right. That's for him.
See, that's what's at stake for Mike Bloomberg in this election.
But, heavens, no. Yeah. I mean, I think something that really grosses me out, and that I think it's one of the reasons why Bloomberg is doing so well with like Black communities and other communities. I think that we have gotten into this like very sick, gross place of wanting to see these two white rich guys kind of duke it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are saying things like, oh, well, Bloomberg, like he actually has the money that Trump brags about having or pretends that he has. And I want to see those two, like he can really take Trump down in the way only like another rich white guy could. And logically, I sort of get that, but what if that's not what I want from my fucking president? Like, what if that's not what that's I feel like we should be voting for?
I think there are generational differences, right, in what we're seeking in this election. Some people purely just do not want to see Donald Trump in the White House anymore.
Right.
And they're the other issues, they're like, we can get to those later. They're like, people are just so disinterested in anything else, just like, just to win. That's one group of voters. And then there are other people who are just like, no, I feel like this is a opportunity to maybe do something good. And I want to see that reflected in the candidate I'm choosing. And that's where it's like, you're starting to see these, like it manifests in all these weird ways now, where, especially when you see like boomer, like Black voters being like, Bloomberg isn't too bad.
Right.
And when you look at evidence like this or sound bites like this, sometimes the response is just sort of like, yeah, but you know, so are most white politicians, or that's how I feel deep down. So maybe this is just the lesser of evils.
Right.
And that's just that's what's disheartening, because there's the lesser of evils does not give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
Either way. And that's what I'm like, we really want people to see, like, no matter who you are, what your situation is, try and really understand that, like, we've majority of the time had presidents who are not really interested in like making sure everybody is doing better.
Yeah.
And I think this is the kind of things where only a few candidates are kind of saying the right thing out loud, where I'm like, this person seems to understand what the stakes are for non-millionaires.
Yeah. I read somebody at 538 tying that to kind of the history of, you know, suffering oppression. You know, you are, your rights are being held down, and so you are looking for the most practical person to create a coalition with, essentially. Like, and so black voters tend to be more pragmatic, and they're going to, like, go with the candidate they think is most electable, which is, like, I think if you are, especially older people who are, like, more steeped in media narratives, they're like, well, Biden and Bloomberg are, like, the two guys who,
right.
like,
yeah.
have the most standard, like, definition, qualifications to be president, and why the fuck would, you know, somebody who's on the left do well? And I think it also ties to, like, what a lot of people are thinking with regards to, they just want somebody who can beat Trump, and they yeah. feel like Bloomberg can beat Trump, and they're not thinking outside of the box. They're thinking of, you know, of this as just another election that is going to play by the rules of every election except 2016.
Right. Well, I think some people probably are so beaten down by their situation and by this system that they're probably a little nihilistic. They're like, none of this shit
definitely.
Is going to happen. I'll never see a world where I'm paid a living wage.
Definitely.
I will continue to toil. And I think that's what people need to begin to connect with, the idea that it's not that you shouldn't be resigned to the fact that it's unchangeable. It's like, there are more of us.
Right.
And if we are coordinated and we are organized, there is a way to balance the scales properly.
Yeah.
But to get just to resign to the fact that, well, this is how it always is, that's how we end up, you know, slipping every time.
Yeah. Right. I think that your point is a really salient one. I'm glad that you brought it up. I have a lot of friends that are Nigerian immigrants, and, you know, Trump is cracking down on immigration from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And these are people who I would have described as, like, very civically engaged, active, like, paying attention. And now, just like, the burden of navigating their, like, increasingly more precarious immigration situations, they have no time to, like, do what I'm doing, you know, mm-hmm. to, like, be reading everything, going to rallies, calling my lawmakers, this, that, the third. No time. And right. I think that's under a, when you are dealing with this kind of, I mean, I'll use the word trauma, when you're mm-hmm. dealing with that, the idea of being able to, like, dream of making a living wage yeah. or dream of not having to, like, fight through all this red tape just to stay here with your family, that seems like a fantasy. Mm-hmm. And it's not even worth putting in energy when you have this real world shit that's going to be knocking at your door today, tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's a really, that's a part of living under fucked up fascist regimes that goes overlooked. It's yeah. like that kind of, like, psychic
beats
cost.
You down.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. That's why, yeah, like, you hope that, I mean, we'll see how these other, you know, primaries play out, and you'd hope that there's enough energy that people can at least believe in the ability to sort of begin to draw things back, but it's hard to tell. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I feel
after
like you're this. Already kind of seeing it with the mainstream acceptance of Trump now. Like, people are just beat down in general. I think there's, like, only a certain amount of, like, mental calories that we can burn on Trump before
and
people
outrage.
Are just like, yeah, and just outrage before people are like, I can't do it anymore. And we talk about how by the time, like, when the Nazis first swept into power, there was all sorts of outraged news articles, but, like, by the 12th year that Hitler
like,
was in
Adolf
power,
Hitler
yeah,
coming
they
to
were
town.
Like, Hitler had a funny quote yesterday about one of his political rivals. So, I mean, that's how it happens. It's just, it becomes normalized.
But that's why, you know, just have to insist that you don't normalize it, that
right.
you can maintain that. Now you have to be in a state of rage constantly, but to understand, like, what the stakes are at the very least, because I yeah. think most people, it kind of flies by people very quickly because it's easy to get lost in all the other stuff that's going on.
Yeah. There's also a Twitter thread that linked off to some of Bloomberg's past sexist behavior that's a whole nother segment. I'd told one story that I had heard about him, like, a journalist going up to him and, like, complimenting him on his gun reform, and Bloomberg just saying, "Look at the ass on her," to him about somebody. But there's just a litany of these quotes of just, like, horrible things. I'd fuck that in a second.
Ugh.
I'd do that piece of meat. If women wanted to be appreciated for their brains, they'd go to the library instead of Bloomingdale's. Calling women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians.
Wait a minute. They would go to the library and say, like, where would we get our clothes? Like, we can't go to Bloomingdale's? Like, what does that even mean?
He would not let women who worked for him wear flat shoes. He made them wear high heels. He would, like, talk shit about them if they, like, let a, like, tiny fraction of their hair grow out, like, gray at the roots. He would say, do you pay a lot to make your hair be two colors? Because now it's three with the gray. That's what he said to a woman who worked for him. One woman came in and informed him she was pregnant, and he said, kill it. And she said, what? And he repeated himself. It wasn't like a, like, nah, I'm just kidding. He was just like, yeah, no, kill it.
What a fucking way to even communicate that.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, again, that shows you how disposable life is to this person, too.
Right. And yeah. I guess,
in service of my billions,
yeah.
Kill your fucking
And
child.
I guess it is like people, it is just like Trump. Like this, if you told me that Trump said all of these things, mm-hmm. I would believe you.
Kill
it's
it.
Like people yeah. just want things to go back to normal and to have Trump out of office, and they will be fine with someone who feels this way about women and talks this way to women.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's just so fucked.
Yeah, and was a Republican.
Yeah. right.
On top of all that.
Yeah, people talk shit about Elizabeth Warren for having been a Republican like decades ago. This dude was a Republican like days ago.
Yeah.
He was, this is all, yeah. One of his employees told him she was married. He said, what is the guy, dumb and blind? What the hell is he marrying you for? Or that she was engaged. So.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, it seems like there's just an unending reservoir of just horrible shit. This right. guy's, I mean, he is just. So.
But that's the thing, man. With these, that's why you should, if you're a billionaire, you should not be able to run for office.
No.
You have left Earth.
Right.
You are
absolutely.
Not, you are not on Earth anymore.
No.
You can, I even think of how much my life changed when I went from not having a job to having a job.
Right.
Did you feel like you were like bawling out of control?
Yes. I was like, oh, watch me. Watch me get this big ass drink at the movie.
I'm totally putting my seat back on yeah. the plane. Like, fuck you, yeah. asshole.
Like, I'm living big now. Just, right. you know, and that, anytime you get a little bit of mobility, upward mobility, your lifestyle changes inevitably. Your values change somewhat, or what's important to you can change somewhat. But when you keep moving up and up, and when you get to the billions.
Yeah. It's just over.
You've never ridden a. You're not on the subway.
Nope.
You've never been shoulder to shoulder with somebody who might be completely different than you or completely different class than you. You're not. Every time you get in a car, you have the same driver. You've got tinted windows. You don't have to look anybody in their eye. You get out, someone greets you. You go immediately to whatever space you need to be in. You go to whatever private dining room you're going to be in. The people you interact with in a service capacity might as well be avatars mm-hmm. and not real people. So you begin that shit. You're in another dimension of existence.
Yeah.
And I think, and that shows with a lot of these people because they're unable to like reconnect to what that real human experience is of toiling under capitalism and maybe not having the time to do all these things that you'd like to do or what you're able to do. And
yeah. Or as he would describe it, he's really a victim of the way other people are treating him.
Right.
Because he's just
self-preservation, you know, baby, right. that ego.
They won't treat him like a normal person. So, I mean, what's he supposed to do? All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is right around the corner. And in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent,
telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so there was a study that was apparently very widely cited among right-wing people. Jordan Peterson did a whole video about it, and right-wing think tanks were all about it. The study seemed to suggest that women in progressive societies went into STEM fields even less than women in less progressive societies. So basically, if women's rights were protected, they went into STEM fields even less. And so the idea is basically like these progressives, like their values are just enforcing something that disagrees with the natural law. And the natural law is women aren't interested in science. And a Harvard science historian, so like the most qualified person to look into this sort of thing.
Jordan Peterson?
No, not Jordan Peterson. Looked at the study and found that the study authors used a very selective set of data to produce a contrived and distorted picture of the global distribution of women in STEM achievement. So, yeah.
And they were just like rah-rahing on that thing. Like, those are the facts, man. Fuck right. Your feelings. Those are the facts.
Yeah, exactly.
But that I've manipulated to say. It's like, but I wonder how many minds will change. It's almost like that, the fucking anti-vax shit where people are like, oh, yeah, the autism thing. When that's completely debunked, it's like, well, there's other stuff too.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, what happens when your biggest card is taken from
once it, I feel like once these bunk studies are like out there in the ether, it's so hard to even have any kind of retraction or reflection on them. They just become part, like, I guarantee you will see this bunk study cited in like online arguments from now until the end of time. Like, once it's out there, I think it's out there. Yeah. It becomes part of like the consciousness or something.
Right. And I think pointing out that it's debunked just causes people to pivot.
Correct.
Really. There's never like, oh,
well,
it was debunked?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because I don't think it's about the study. I don't think it's about like the data, the numbers. I think it's about something else. It's about making this like cultural argument that they're so sure is right, that it really doesn't matter whether or not this one study was disproven. Yeah.
No,
but
no,
I'm sure for like young people who are still like trying to figure out how the world works, you know, and like, like I could see them being swung by some shit like this. So, well, it's like, I mean, that's what's scary about Jordan Peterson.
I think that's where you, again, it's about, you know, like you're saying, Bridget, it's not even that they care about the study. It's just that everyone has a worldview they're trying to reinforce. Some people are more rigid about being able to, you know, reflect and analyze their own perspective. And I think if you're not, the debunking doesn't mean anything. The second it enters your consciousness, it's like, and you just need that to reinforce whatever your reality is. It's like, well, if I give that up, then my reality is not real.
Exactly. And then and what then else isn't real?
And then what do I do? No. So women don't like science. I'll just go with that.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work to re-figure things out for yourself. Well, in good news for the Trump administration, they are bringing his nurse back into the White House.
So when I read this, right, that Hope Hicks was coming back to the White House, this is what I said. Trump's former communications director will work in Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner's office at the White House. I'm like, what? Oh, so she's working in Shady Jared's office.
Right.
I'm like, his mental health is completely going off the rails.
Right.
This is not, she offers nothing strategically to them. She's her
Trump whisperer.
Yeah.
Right?
Her greatest skill to that administration was like, he listened to her.
Right.
And she was able to control some of his impulses. And like you're saying, called her the Trump whisperer. She was at Fox making money.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was the fucking executive president and chief communications officer at Fox.
Right. So it's a pretty big media company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at some point, and suddenly they're like, she's going back to the White House.
Right.
That must have been them begging her to be like, it's getting bad.
Right.
You know, you're one of the few people that can talk to him. We're really worried about this. Please come back.
Because what's in it for her? I mean, like, why else would she do this? It doesn't make sense as a career move for someone like her. It really makes no sense other than what you're laying out.
That's
like,
just my
literally
theory.
A step backward.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's a step. I'm going to go right back to what I was doing before that I left
that I
two
wanted
years
to leave.
Ago because it wasn't working out. And
yeah.
I
especially with the backdrop of the Mueller investigation, how she was like caught up in a few different things.
Oh,
that
God.
Was just, she was like, you know what? I don't really want to fucking do this.
Right.
But, you know, some people think that, you know, that this has nothing to do with his mental state. But when you see, like, you know, there are more and more reports and whispers, like, I don't know how founded they are, but when you see him speaking, clearly his vocabulary has been diminished over the last couple of years.
No, that's just because he's becoming a better public
speaker. Actually,
getting
more.
He's good at communicating.
It's called
an
efficiency of words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm to me, that's what I mean, the only value I really see Hope Hicks offering the White House is her ability to communicate with the president.
Right.
So, okay,
right.
At best, they need somebody who can communicate with him still.
Right.
At worst, they maybe think that she can maybe get him across the finish line for some of these, like, for this campaign or something, just because of their relationship. It's, I don't know. And also, like, you know, why isn't she in jail?
that's a really good question.
Yeah.
I remember when she was being questioned, a lot of the media were like, oh, well, she's just the framing was, she's just a young girl who got caught up.
God,
but
yikes.
She's like 30. Like, right. She's not really like, I mean, we're contemporaries. No one, if I did something wrong in my job or was like a party to something like wrongdoing.
Illegal.
No one would be like, oh, well, she's just a poor kid who didn't know what she was getting into, her head. Like, why did people kind of project that onto her?
I think because she was pretty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's still like just this thing of like, they just want to act like, oh, maybe she didn't have any agency in this and she was caught up in this thing. But it's like, she knew what it was when she signed up. She's, you know, part of the job is to lie. She helped lie for the president. That came with it. And I don't think there's anything, I don't see anything about her experience there that would be like, oh, she's a victim here.
I also think it was like at a time when communications were occupied by Sarah Sanders and her, and people were just like, well, anything's better than Sarah Sanders. Like, and
but at
she
this
was
point,
just like quiet and behind the scenes.
Yeah, but there's no need for a comms team anymore there.
Right.
Like, we've seen what the method is now at the White House. It's like, we don't talk to them. Hogan Gidley will come out and like say some weird stuff in his fancy new coat and then, you know, fuck off into the darkness.
Yeah.
But
I don't know who Hogan Gidley is, but I'm picturing somebody with like a fur of some sort, or like a
he was wearing,
picturing a Cats character.
No, he is like the new, you know, comms guy. Okay. And press secretary
Hogan Gidley.
But he was wearing this jacket. It looked like something Olivia Pope would wear in like Scandal.
Oh my God.
This coat,
this
is,
dude definitely thinks he's Olivia Pope.
He thinks he's Olivia
Pope. He thinks
he's
white Olivia Pope.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I saw that this morning, I'm like, you think you're Olivia Pope?
He definitely like was like styling in the mirror that morning. Yes. I wish I could see this coat. Like, he was definitely styling himself in the mirror, being like,
messing with
about
it.
To
like,
fuck him up.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, ooh, better watch out.
Ooh. Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
But he's just like, you know,
that
but
is a look.
He just goes out, says what he has to say. He has, you can tell he has no soul in his eyes.
Ooh, it's even more of a look when it's tied up.
Oh, is that the photo with him and Sarah Sanders?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it better open.
Yeah, you know, no, it looks better. Like, he definitely had it like perfectly opened.
Yeah, but I think that his like press spray was delayed for a few minutes because the collar wasn't standing right.
The Astros, I guess their owner or president, Jim Crane.
Jim something.
Yeah. This guy just seems like a complete asshole. But so he was like, well, we're certainly going to address this with our team when we start spring training.
The cheating?
Yeah. Address the cheating and like come out with a statement as an organization where they address the fact that they basically used sign stealing, and then when they knew a changeup or an off-speed pitch was coming, they would bang on a trash can to communicate.
Or some people had buzzers on them.
Some people had buzzers.
So they'd get a vibration to know what pitch was coming.
And when you look at how they hit at home versus how they hit on the road, it was apparently easier for them to do it at home. It's just statistically anomalous. Like, it would make no sense statistically if there weren't some explanation for why they were so much better at home. And this is the explanation. And they also, like, when you look at the players before and after this whole system like started happening, mm-hmm. They just like got miraculously, like shockingly better. There's a chart on 538 where it shows like how teams improved from 2016 to 2017 when they started doing it.
When they had the biggest jump.
Yeah. Oh, it's like they're not even on the same chart as the other teams. It's like, it makes no sense whatsoever. So with all of that in mind, you know, Jim Crane and the powers that be at the Astros organization, we're going to sit down with the players and, you know, figure out how to address this, how to express their remorse, make amends. Just kidding. He had a press conference where he was like, we talked it over. We don't think it had any impact on the competition. People were like,
oh, really?
Wait, so what are you apologizing for? And he was like, well, we do apologize that we broke the rules. And then the reporter was like, but isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage? How could it not impact the competition? He said it could impact it. It could not impact it.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Our opinion is that this didn't impact the game.
They need.
And then 55 seconds later, I didn't say it didn't impact the game. So it's just
kind of respect this level of like whole face scamming. Yeah. Like, I almost kind of respect it.
Wow. Other quotes, I don't think I should be held accountable. Which is always just a good thing to say out loud.
Wow, I like just put somebody else out there. Like, mom shouldn't be me, though.
Our opinion is this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Somebody please sue
Major
League Baseball.
No, sir, we will not.
Somebody please sue over this.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what the fuck. Like, this is absurd.
That was the most frustrating World Series to be rooting against
them. Especially as a Dodgers fan.
Oh, my God.
Man, I know people who threw their nearly their lives away on buying tickets to those games. Wow. Went to game 7 only to be eviscerated,
get
your
destroyed.
Spirit ripped out of your body and thrown into Chavez Ravine.
How are they responding to this news?
They're pissed.
I can only imagine.
They're fuming. But it's weird. There's also this thing. It's like, well, we don't want an asterisk win.
Right.
You know, like, it would have felt better. But at the same time, there needs to be justice on some level. And not just from the LA City Council with their, you know, developer shill council members being like, oh, well, we think this is a resolution that says Major League Baseball should give the Dodgers the win.
Right.
It's like, no, we need something real here.
Right.
But the irony of it, too, is this part of me is like, You know, I don't care if people are sign stealing in a way. If you're using like your eyes, like sure, you got someone on second. That's just like some human shit that you happen to catch and you got to figure that out because that's just in view.
They had cameras.
Yeah, when you bring in technology buzzers, because the funny part was when they asked Pete Rose, you know, who's banned for life for gambling on his own team and just other games that were going on. That like he was like he's like what's the big deal when everyone was like no Pete this is your chance to say yeah fuck that I just bet he's like I never changed the outcomes of games I just have a I was a gambling addict
big deal I love that guy man.
And it was just like he keeps it so real in a way that it's like no
you,
when a lot of people were like Pete Rose should 100% be back in Major League Baseball if they're allowing this to just go on especially with like these kinds of you know, like 1 year bans and shit like that. But hey, you know, we don't make the rules. The rich white guys do.
All right. Finally, let's talk about the Escobar too.
This is the funniest shit to me. Pablo Escobar's brother, okay? The fucking the drug kingpin, Pablo Escobar, his brother, Roberto, huge fucking tech maven, okay? He is like, he's all in. He's trying to design all kinds of phones and shit right now. He's the new Esteban Trabajos, as I would say, or Steve Jobs. Now, for my bilingual speakers out there. So he wants to make this new device called the Escobar Fold 2, and it's a foldable cell phone. It's a knockoff of the Galaxy Fold phone, like a terrible knockoff, but it's just rebranded with like a Pablo Escobar golden monogram on the back. The kinds of shit that his brother has done just along the way here. He threatened to sue Elon Musk for allegedly stealing his idea for that flamethrower and demanded $1 billion from Netflix also over the show about his brother. And then in December, he's like, well, I've got this like revolutionary phone. It's going to sell for $1,000 less than the biggest one out there. And he said, I have told many people that I would beat Apple and I will. Okay. And then, so this phone comes out, it's apparently a based off the Royal Flex Pi or something. It's basically a knockoff. But when people were like trying to buy it, they only got all kinds of like headaches from it. They said that like they took, the $349 that these people were paying for the phones and then 100% just didn't deliver when they were supposed to. And some people, when they did like get something in the mail, it was a fucking book written by Roberto Escobar with the title, I made billions selling coke. Now my smartphones will destroy Apple and Samsung.
That's what they got instead of an actual phone.
Yes.
I love it.
The equivalent. I mean, that's actually, to be fair, that title of a book is basically the cocaine.
Right. That is big.
The cocaine story.
Exactly.
That is big cocaine energy, man.
And then my fucking smartphone fucking destroy Apple and Samsung, man.
That
Who
is
are
the
you?
Most cocaine thing that I've ever heard.
Yeah. I made billions.
Enormous
the
plans.
Title. I made billions selling coke. Now my, what's the pivot there? Now my smartphones will destroy Apple and Samsung.
Yeah. It's
the other really fantastic part about this is that Mike Bloomberg isn't the only person using his business savvy to get celebrity endorsements for some of his products. He's also like been using Cameo to get like Cameo's a website where you can pay like washed celebrities like $20.
Excuse you. Yours truly is on Cameo. If you want to a personalized shout out. No, I'm just kidding. I am, but it all goes to charity.
I mean, yeah, you're doing it the right way. It's when I see people like Bethany Frankel. Like doing her videos are like in the back of a van.
It's like, hey, it's Bethany. Yeah. I heard it was your birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh yeah. So all kinds of people are like on here, including Corey Lewandowski, Donald Trump's former campaign manager. And somewhat just when you listen to these endorsements, they ring so fucking hollow and they just sound like a Cameo video.
It's so sad that Lewandowski is on Cameo.
Oh. I feel sorry for him.
Huh? I mean, it's sad.
So Bethany Frankel like shoots videos in the back of a van.
I bought a Cameo by Ramona Singer from Real Housewives of New York for my friend's birthday party. Ramona. And she did a great job. She seemed a little, she seemed like she had been enjoying some wine.
Was it Turtle Time?
It was Turtle Time. Hey. Oh, you know your housewife.
Hey, I'm fluent. You know what I mean?
Wait, what is turtle time? That's what she says.
It's like a little song slash dance that she does when she's like turning up. Turtle time.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. I never quite got it, but I did enjoy it.
So he's going on Cameo and getting some great celebrity endorsements from Corey Lewandowski, Trump's former campaign manager. I'll just play this Corey Lewandowski one for everybody, just so you can hear how amazing this new revolutionary cell phone is. This is celebrated snake oil salesman Corey Lewandowski.
Hey, this message is for Roberto. Roberto, it's Corey Lewandowski. I was President Trump's 2016 campaign manager and his current 2020 senior advisor. Look, Olaf reached out to me, and I want to just tell you guys that I've seen the new Escobar Fold 2 phone, and it's absolutely incredible. So this is just a quick big shout out to you guys that did all the work behind that, and I wish you the very best and all the success in the world. Don't forget, vote Donald Trump November 2020.
Holy
the
shit.
The energy of this also, like, yeah. He had a real intense energy.
Yeah. My man did not blink once. If you look, he actually didn't blink the whole time.
Doesn't blink, just like...
He starts off the video from the back and then leans into it.
Right.
Hey, Roberto, it's me, Corey Lewandowski, Camp's Trump pay manager. Manger.
Right.
Manger.
Wait, why is he introducing himself to him while... Just
making sure the check cleared, you know?
Just the audience for who he thinks he's talking to is unclear to me. Because he's talking to... Roberto, but then he's also talking about Roberto's product.
Yeah, maybe they'll edit that for the thing. I think because maybe Roberto Escobar is smart and be like, well, these Trump people buy fucking anything. They bought Trump-branded plastic straws.
Oh, they'll buy anything. So anything.
If Corey Lewandowski is endorsing the Fold 2, then maybe they'll line up. Then we really get to see his whole marketing plan really play out because he also got a cameo video from Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. And again, I don't know who the marketing team was. Goes, this is who you need. Corey Lewandowski and Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. And these phones are going to fly off the shelf. Listen to this one again, too. This one's kind of sad.
Hey, guys. Chris Hansen here of Hansen versus Predators and To Catch a Predator. I just wanted to tell you all that I've seen this amazing new smartphone called the Escobar Fold 2. It appears to be the best phone out right now. I've been looking at the transcripts. So have a seat, check it out, and remember... I'll be watching. Take care.
Oh my God.
He's drunk.
I have to say, I don't want to like, he has seen better days. Like, yeah. I did not recognize him.
Yeah, Chris Hansen looks like shit.
He looks rough.
He looks like he drank a bunch of hotel wine.
Right. And is he in a hotel room? Is that what the background room is?
Yeah.
And
he doesn't have that kind of design restraint.
Yeah. And it's not that he looks like unkempt, like he just rolled out of bed. He has his hair combed. He just looks bad.
Listen, he sounds like Joe Namath when he was hitting on Susie Colbert. Yeah. Listen to this, one of these lines.
Hey guys, Chris Hansen here of Hansen versus Predators and To Catch a Predator. I just
wanted to catch a predator.
That's definitely some slurs. Yeah, I know wine slur when I hear it.
Because he's probably blasting through his cameos. Like, let me get a quick 50 bucks, 50 bucks, 50 bucks.
The fact that they would do that for 50 bucks, like that's...
Well, it all depends. I don't know what Chris Hansen's rates are, but
Cameo
I think...
Cameo lets you like...
Yeah, you pick your own rates.
Mine are a reasonable $5 for all those listening.
Like you... will endorse a product?
I mean, I think that some people have figured out that you can... So mostly Cameo is like, it's my friend's birthday, she loves you, you know, say hello.
Can I get Debbie Gibson to say hi?
Exactly. It's like a dumb gift, whatever. I think some people have figured out that you can get celebrities to seemingly endorse like your project or your brand or something. And like, no offense to these people, but a lot of them are too dumb to know the difference. Like, there was a thing on Cameo where like Nazis were getting... celebrities to like say Nazi slogans and they just like didn't know. So I think people have realized you can kind of gamify it.
Right.
Got it.
I mean, some of these prices, wow. Okay. So for example, Chris Hansen, you can get him for $60.
Oh, that's a steal.
Michael Rapaport, $150.
What?
Gilbert Gottfried, $150. Hudson, $135. Shall I go on? Flavor Flav, $250, sir. I don't have time. Tommy Lahren, you can get for $80. Oh, shit.
Yo, if we pulled our money...
There's no way that she would say what we want her to say.
Nah, but we would have to do a weird thing where we could, like, stitch it all together in, like, a maniacal supercut. And just get... I mean, she's already debased herself, so it doesn't matter.
I can't even
imagine. Shit, you get Redman for $150? Shout out to Reggie Noble, one of my favorite rappers. Oh, shit, I might do that.
Oh, Miles, do you have a birthday coming up? Maybe someone will get you this cameo.
I'd be lying if I said I already didn't get myself one. This is what I also love. Did you watch Cheer?
Of course.
You remember Jerry?
Of course! Oh, was the other wait, how much is he?
$150 if you want Jerry Harris.
That is not a bad. That's a steal.
To get him, what's it called when they like
Matt
cheer?
Talk? Matt Talk? Yeah,
Matt to get
talk
him to the... Matt Talk you would be shit. So dope.
And then we remember Mark McGrath when he famously broke up with that one dude.
Oh my God.
Right.
$125. Yeah.
That is the... So the title of that book is Cocaine in book title form. There's a clip of Mark McGrath on Wendy Williams that is cocaine in like old
human
video form.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Amazing. It's hard to find though. They had it taken down.
Damn.
But he is flying.
Gary Busey, $350.
Yeah.
Gary Busey.
Come on.
I mean, a little steep.
Hey, the market determines the price, you know?
Yeah.
He's not out here putting it out there at $350 without getting some buyers.
I mean, yeah, and you get Randy Jackson from American Idol for $250.
To come to your house in person.
Yeah.
And say whatever you want.
Dude, or Brian Scalabrine for $99.
Wow.
Brian Scalabrine. Oh, Andy King from Fire Festival fame, $125. Damn, Corey Lewandowski's are only $55.
Yo,
that's so sad to me.
Yeah,
55.
I mean, whatever, you know.
The Andy King's, like the time that he's spending just reading like terrible joke after terrible joke about him sucking somebody's dick for water, like over and over and
that's
over.
That's like a Black Mirror episode.
That is like a Black Mirror episode.
Where your job is to embarrass yourself into your phone for credits to come back
to.
God.
Wow.
That's it is like
so
a dystopian
nightmare.
That just got very dark.
I know.
Because
well,
if you
I'm
think
sorry,
about it, right?
I'm
like,
have to go
this
cry
is sort of like
somewhere.
The end game of celebrity, where at a certain point, the markets have done what they have done with you. They're done with you. You have no longer present value. And you're just like, well, I'd love to be able to make passive money as best as I can.
Right.
So now I'm literally just saying, I'll say whatever you want for a couple of bucks.
Yeah. So you can laugh at me.
Yeah. Ooh, that's like when
that
Dirk Diggler. Yeah, jerking off in the truck. Yeah.
Pick up truck scene.
Come on, man. Harder, faster. Goes fast as I can.
Can't get hard. It's so sad.
So sad.
And then don't they kick his ass?
Yeah.
That whole scene. Yeah, it was a gay bashing thing.
Yeah.
That went down with him. That whole sequence is so dark.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to the San Fernando
Valley.
Because
the character is then a gay basher, but he's clearly into it when it's happening.
Right.
But, yeah.
Ooh. Hey, well, you can get Tim Hardaway Sr. for $50. I feel like Tim Hardaway can get a little more than $50.
Yeah, some of these I feel like they're really selling themselves short.
Right. Yeah, a couple of them I'm like, well, hold on now. You know, Sean Kingston is $300. Okay, well.
Yeah. That's interesting. I would just listen to a podcast that was just people going through and
the
reading
prices
cameo.
And then reacting.
Cameo podcast.
Just an over under on cameo prices.
Holy shit. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, $500. See, that's somebody who knows their
fucking
worth.
Yeah, that's a legend. That is like a timeless icon.
God, my dad would die if I got like a cameo from him. If I was like, oh, happy birthday, Dad. Yeah. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Here's the guy who scored the most points in the history of NBA basketball.
Gosh.
That's unbelievable.
Ugh.
Bridget, it has been so fun having you. We ended this conversation in such a fun place, despite just all the bullshit. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, experience you?
Oh, well, you can find me on Instagram at Bridget Marie in DC, on Twitter at Bridget Marie, and on the Afropunk Solution Sessions podcast. On all your normal podcast places, Spotify, iTunes,
there we go.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Mm. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, God, what a good question. Probably this picture of Megan Thee Stallion and Debbie Harry hanging out. It's just a picture.
What?
No words, just them, just two queens
just
kicking it.
Just two queens.
Two legends, two icons. So
wow.
I hope they're friends in real life.
I'm so glad she wasn't with G-Eazy.
Oh, God, me too.
Glad that was just whatever that was.
What a weird...
Did they explain that?
No,
she was just like,
I'm glad it's over.
She was like, yeah, we hung out.
Or was it like one of those Trump things where he'll say some terrible shit out loud, everyone gets on him, he's like, I actually never meant that.
Right.
I never believed that.
Right.
Which was kind of like, I was kind of feeling it.
Right. I mean, just go enjoy being Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah, you're Megan Thee Stallion. You know what I mean?
You enjoy it. Miles, what is a tweet you've been enjoying? And
Scratching?
Where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray, and on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, where we talk about 90 Day Fiancé. Hi. Okay.
Hello.
One of the greatest reality shows of all times. A tweet I like is from Reductress, or a couple of tweets I like. The first one is, uh-oh, friend on hike wants to keep going.
Oh, no.
Y'all, I'm going hiking this weekend. This is going to be my life.
Fear.
If they find me dead right. in the Shenandoah National Forest, this is why, because my friend wanted to keep going.
Damn, you're going out to the Shenandoahs? Mm-hmm. All right, beautiful, beautiful.
Say your friend's name so we know who to blame.
Mike Amato. Mike.
Wow, let him know. You've been put on
we're
alert.
We're tracking you, Mike.
And then, and that's always how I feel whenever I've gone hiking, too. And I'm like, yeah, man, this seems pretty high. Like, we could probably go back. And they're like, yeah, it's just up there. And
the
I'm
sunset's
like,
going to be so
I'm like,
worth
what's
it.
What's up there?
Uh-oh, friend.
Me breathing heavy and like half, anyway. And then one more tweet from Reductress, which hit very close to home. Man treats his sneakers with tenderness unknown to girlfriend.
Oh, my God. That's so dark.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
They know us.
All right. My favorite word play tweeter, Marissa, at Mind of Marissa, in marriage counseling, therapist, your wife says that you never buy her flowers. Husband, to be honest, I didn't even know she sold flowers. That's fucking good Marx Brothers style shit. God. She's good, man. She's like got an amazing gift of just like doing these dumb wordplay jokes. And then Eliza Skinner tweeted, I'm giving up for Lent.
Boom.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Oh, for all the celebratory blunts that were had in Brooklyn. This is an artist, Blunt One, who mostly does like really instrumental, like jazz hop stuff. And I always put this on in the background when I like make a little coffee in the morning when I'm taking a cold brew. It's like nice. I like a little bit of atmospherical sound.
I love instrumental hip hop when like writing or doing anything creative.
Yeah. So, you know, if you go on Spotify, like do Blunt One Radio or whatever, or Chill Hop, whatever you like. This track's called New Dawn because, again, you know, don't let the nihilism creep in.
Hey, they're coming for you.
Yep. You hear that?
You hear that?
Uh-oh. Bloomberg heard what I had to say. Why don't you hop on in, pal? I'll give you a ride.
Miles and I were talking about the scenario where we get up on stage and look around and it's just all MAGA hats at the show.
It might happen.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck. Wait, why?
Why?
Yeah.
Why might it happen?
Yeah.
Because we're in D.C., man.
Oh.
You never know where you're going to encounter them in D.C.
Yeah, I mean, every time I come here, I see them and I'm like, okay, that's what's here. This is like coming to Graceland. You know what I mean? So.
Ugh. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today, for the whole week. Actually, we'll be back later this afternoon. We'll give you one more trendo to tell you what's trending. And then back next week with more podcasts. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them.
Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.